The message tonight is called The Eye of the Storm. A storm is a tropical cyclone. It's a hurricane. Many of us are familiar with that. It's got speeds of, you know, anywhere from 74 to 156 miles an hour, and it trashes anything in its presence, whether it be on land or water. And we've seen the effects of what hurricanes can do. We look at that, but then there's this eye of that storm, that center area that could be 20 to 40 miles an hour that seems a little bit calmer than the rest of it, right? There's a point in that moment where there's clarity in the midst of all that chaos. There's a little bit of clarity that kind of follows it around, right? And I think of us in the midst of our lives and everything that we deal with and all the things that we go through, that we're all in this big circle of chaos when we're in the world. And if you're not aware of that, then trust me, I'm just going to tell you now, you are definitely in the midst of chaos when you're out there in that world. If you're not mindful of that, then you're a step behind everybody else that's on guard for that. Amen? Right? I'd be the first person to tell you that there's been no greater enemy to me other than me. Amen? Right? I mean, there is an adversary, and we do have one, and many of them, but how many of us have been hurt by somebody else as much as we've hurt ourselves? Right? Amen? Right? So there's, and then you have the world and the chaos and how we react to it in the circle and where you are on that chart. Some of us right now are in the middle of that storm. Amen? Right? Some of us are in the middle of that chaos. The wind's blowing you. We don't know what's going on right now. Some of us have a little bit of a mind of peace, but we know that we're going to be facing something soon. Amen? Right? And so the eye of the storm in my reference from a biblical perspective is the thorn in the flesh. Everybody familiar with that? So the thorn in the flesh from Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:7-10 says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I have implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Power is perfected in weakness. And I stop there because that's a paradox that we don't understand, right? Right? From where I've been and where I come from, all my power is within me and what I'm able to do, right? My word, my bond, where I come from, what I know, yes or no, right? Right? So being powerful to me is everything that I've been through, all the decisions that I made, all my strength and knowledge and experience makes me powerful. But the reality of it is that's when I'm my weakest. And Paul understands that, but it's kind of hard for me in the flesh to understand that, because when negativity and adversity comes our way, our fleshly reaction is not spiritual. Amen? Right? I mean, we take little kids, for example. If you hit them, what are they going to do? Cry. Donnie, you're hitting them too hard. Mick, they hit you back. They hit you back, right? Right? They hit you back. So you hit a little kid, a little kid's going to hit you back. That's the flesh, right? If you come at me wrong today, I'm going to come at you wrong today. And that's how we live. But the reality of that is we're trying to understand how to live a spiritual life in a physical world. So we got the two different conflicts of the nature, and that's the issue that we're dealing with. But Paul recognizes this, and he says it was to keep me from exalting myself. But to implore means to beg someone, you know, relentlessly. To implore means that I'm pleading with you for help, right? And this is Paul. So to bring this into perspective, I had to think about it for a second. Paul's a man of God. He wrote 13 out of 27 books in the New Testament. This man's grounded in his faith, amen? Right? He's living right now, grounded in his faith, dealing with the outside stress. He's in that eye of that storm, that wind's blowing, he's suffering, he's being tempted. And whatever it may have been, he had pleaded with God to take it away. And God looked at him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know how powerful that is, really, when you come to understand it? Because the reality is, I'm never going to lay down, right? Amen? Right? You can push me, knock me, kick me, whatever you're going to do. I'm never going to lay it down. But when it's real and when it's at your house and you're dealing with it, it's not simple to understand that it's the grace that we should be focused on. Right? We're so focused on dealing with what we need to do that sometimes we pull away. And the paradox is a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement that when thoroughly explained or may prove well-founded or can be true. So if we put this concept to the test and we think about this from a natural standpoint to a fleshly standpoint, we look at Proverbs 18:1. He says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against sound wisdom." So let's think about this from a list of a chart of how things occur, right? Something major happens to you that you don't deserve, right? In your mind, I don't deserve this. How many times can you relate to that? Yes or no? Things are unfair. Life's unfair, right? He didn't say it was going to be fair, but we somehow think, you know, well, that's not fair, right? We think we have this expectation that things should be fair, but the reality is they're not going to be fair. And the more that I keep thinking to myself that it should be fair, the more I'm setting myself up for that next time that I'll be letting myself down. Amen? Right? I got to keep putting myself on this glass ladder that everything's going to work out, but every time it breaks, why am I surprised? But I think we do that to ourselves, right? We wake up. I said, man, I go to work every day. I do my thing. How come the end of the month ain't working out? Every single month it goes backwards. Why? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Is this supposed to be right? You know, implore the Lord for help. But he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, maybe throughout the times of the life when we kind of conceded to instant gratification, that now during a time frame, we're building a little something else that's worth more than money, more than making it, amen? Something in us that we never had one time, right? Right? How many of us got that consistency in our lives today that when our kids and family look at us, they know that they can trust us, amen? But we lived these lives in the past and when they looked at us and we just knew that they loved us, not that they could trust us, amen? Right? Because you're going to do what you do. We know what you do. You've been doing that for how long? You're going to run 3 days, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, make it sound real good. But at the end of the day, we know what you're going to do. Amen? So you come home and then you start over and you start doing that. You're living this life. You're trying to build that. And today you know it's real because it's in your heart. Amen? Right? You know it's real. But they don't. That takes time. That takes time. You got to do the same thing over and over and over and over in the midst of the adversity for them to witness you being consistent. And why? Because I have faith. Amen? Because I found the one thing that has the power to stop me from hurting myself and everyone else around me. Amen? But those of you that know me closely know that I've broken every heart of everything that's ever been attached to me. Twice, 10 times fold. Amen, right? But for this 11-year, 15-year time span, however long he's been working on me now, he's been rebuilding this slowly. And so from a testimonial standpoint, about at the end of 2018, I was creating a business so that we could hire and bring you guys in and maybe show you automotives and mechanics and warranty writing and policies and things like that so that I could have jobs. Because we're always saying, man, what's the one thing that we're working on here that we got to be able to provide? Lyle, praise God, has an answer for that today. But at that point in time, I didn't. So I took every single thing that I had started over with and put it in that basket to try to get everybody jobs. And I had a new plan. And pretty soon, there it went. And I woke up. And it was all gone and there's nothing there. And I was so mad that I couldn't bring myself to share that message. I couldn't bring myself to speak. So I took a break. I didn't run away. Amen. But the verse says a man separates himself to seek his own desire. He quarrels against sound wisdom. This promotes the snowball effect. So even while I didn't run off. See, if you go 15 years ago and this had happened to me, I'd be back in the paper again. Right? Because I'm not going to stand for that. That ain't how you do me. I'm not going to do you. Right? Eye for an eye in the street. Yes or no? Oh, yeah. I promise you I'll be back in the newspaper. My discovery's already 66,000 pages long. The next time, you guys, it's going to be peanut butter forever. The next time for me, amen, right? I'm tired of noodles. I'm not going to make them. So I went home and I was real quiet. And then I found a couple mentors and some guys that are a little further off in the church, and I just started saturating myself with the Word of God. Every other Friday, I go to a church in Syracuse, and then on Tuesday nights, I go to an escalated Bible study where these guys are kind of, you know, theologians, you know. So when I sit around them, I listen to them, and I'm like, eh, I don't understand quite all of that. You know, I kind of, the stages of growth, you know. But these guys, I think they're here. So the more that I get to listen to them, the more it just kind of pulls me out of that, the more that, you know, it took a while. And these guys all checking on me and encouraging me. But I think that I was just in the front part of that storm, you know, and I was holding on as hard as I can because we all know what happens if we decide to go back to where we came from. Right. We can make it sound good right now. We can make it look good right now. Right, amen? Some of us may only have a couple weeks in of being honest with ourselves. Some of us may only have a couple hours of being honest with ourselves. But the reality of it is, going back is the same. Amen? Right? What's it say about insanity? But we perfect it, man. We sit there and we think about that over and over and over again where we think, well, this time, you know, I'll never forget sitting there doing Fed time 5 years deep listening to people playing on how they're going to get locked back up. Because they're smarter now, right? Amen, right? Well, this is where it got us, you know? I'm thinking, you know, you might be needing to go deeper, right? I realized during my time that this is what got us. Amen, right? And if I can't control this, He can. Amen, amen. Right? Amen. Right? Being sober, living right, it ain't easy. But the only way that we can do that is if we grab onto a power greater than ourselves. One that could reach in all the way to the roots of where we came from and say, I'm done with that. Amen. Otherwise, I'm just teasing myself. So all that happens. Snowball effect. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he can't hear, but your iniquities made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't hear. So then he goes on to describe, you know, that your hands and your tongue and the things you put yourself to do. I just sit there and think to myself, you know, how is this falling home with me? How is this relating to me? And the reality of it is this is my home, and the outside circumstances have come in so strong that my frustration and anger had caused me to go home. Amen? Right? And I'd be sitting at home with the door locked, knowing it's Monday night, knowing that everybody's here, just be breaking my heart week after week after week. Plus, I'm working out of town. We got new jobs, more stuff's going on. So then the few times I could have made it, I was there. And this, all this stuff compiles upon it. And I think about the little tiny decisions that we make. Amen? When Paul says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Yeah. Right? Yeah. What is it within me that causes me to do the things that I don't want to do? And he says, but I'm the man that doesn't want to do them. I can look into myself and know in my heart that I do not want to do that. But yet I watch my hands, my tongue, my mind, my opinion do all of those things I don't want to do. What is it? He says, well, that's sin living within me. Amen? So if that's the case and I can visibly see myself do those things, then I got to cast them out. Right? Because no matter where you start, if I start here with this much integrity and I decide this line right here can go and this line right here can go and this line right here can go, and all of a sudden, what do? You wake up one day, you say, how did I get here? How did I get here? I had no intentions of waking up here again. Right? But it didn't start that way, because you didn't say you were going to go shoot somebody. You didn't say you're going to go sell whatever it is you're going to sell. You didn't say you're going to find yourself addicted. You found yourself taking these baby tiny steps of shaving your integrity one by one with justification of the flesh and not living by the Spirit. Amen? But see, the thing is, when we live by the Spirit, it puts the light on those things. So that when I get in my truck tonight and I go home and at the back of my mind, God goes, what'd you do that for? Right? I got to go home. I got to get on my knees. I got to say, God, I need this out of my life because I can't afford for you to let me become who I was. Amen, right? He said his ear's not so dull. His hand's not so short right? We think that God can't reach you right now where you're at, that God can't reach anyone that you know right where they're at, amen? His hand's not so short. You think God's hand's short? It's not. But it's God's reaching for me, reach for me. And I'm going like that. You know, if you reach for me, God, reach for me. No! Reach for me, God. No! Listen to me, God. Plug your ears. I'm not, you know? It's I'm just shutting myself off from His grace because I'm too tough. Because I can't admit it that I ain't got this under control. Because of my past. Because, you know, right? Right? Because of pride. Yes or no? Right? You know, what are these little things? Donnie calls them little pigs. Right? He's a gets rid of all the hogs of sin and then saves this cute little pig and then feeds it and you end up with a hog again, right? Amen? But it's funny how we like to keep these tiny things about us in our back pocket. Amen? But I'm more of a put every single thing on the table. Right now I am what I am. Take it or leave it, like me or not. Because that's the only way that I know that I can protect myself from who I used to be. Amen? It's all in. I was a poker player. Right? When I'm one of that pot, I push all my chips in. Right? Well, this ain't poker, and these chips are worth a lot more than that. But this is a situation where we can't bet 30 and 40 and 50 and 200. This is the whole rack. You're going to push that rack in right now. It's going to change your life. Amen? And Paul said, David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And what's he say? You don't believe me? Try me. Amen? That's what it means. You don't believe me? Try me. But you say, "Well, God, I've been giving you 14%. Well, that's not what God wants. Amen? Right? I got my other 86 over here. You guys can't see it. Right? Don't look back there. I don't want you to know about it. God wants 100%. Yes or no? Amen? Because I want 100%. I don't want to go back through that again. Amen? Right? I want to enjoy the things that He's talking about. I believe His word is real. Amen, right? And He says that He's patient towards you and wants the best for you. And I want to hold on to that. Amen. I want to taste some of that. I'm tired of noodles, right? And all them other things. I want to taste new things. Amen, right? So when you think about this, in 2 Peter 3:9, He said, "The Lord's not slow as some count to slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." So He's sitting there and He's watching me make these stupid decisions. He's just waiting, right? Amen? And I think we're riding this roller coaster where we're doing good for a minute, then we crash, we're doing good for a minute, we crash. And it just must be disappointing. It's like watching your kids, right? You told them 56 times not to do it and they do it again, right? But then again, we're kind of guilty too, right? You know? Hebrews 4:15 says, "We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize our weaknesses, but one who's been tested in every way as we have, but without sin." Matthew 10:30 says, "God knows even the numbers of your hair." Even the numbers of hair on your head. I got a fun fact. Fun fact, average full head of hair is 25,000 hairs. Now, Donnie's working with about $9,000 right now. That's okay. I cut mine low. So you can't tell, and then half of them are gray. But if you think that God knows us so intimately that He actually knows the number of hairs on our head, then He knows the struggles that we're going through today. Amen. He knows what we got behind that door. Amen. Right. So why can't I talk to Him about it? Who am I fooling when I go home and I keep that 16% that I'm keeping away from everybody else that's chipping away at my integrity, leading me back down that road again? Who am I fooling? Well, you ain't fooled, right? Amen, right? Right, you're not. I'm fooling me. Because 14% becomes 21%, becomes 35%, becomes 50%, becomes how did I get here? Right? Yes or no? Because you asked the age-old question. I don't know about you guys. I don't even know really. But I probably got 9 federal indictments and 25 felonies. Been locked up I don't know how many times. And it took to my mid-30s for God to say, "Ben, this is your last chance." And He put it here. And I knew it. And I'm going to a federal arraignment this end of this month to watch one of my best friends get sentenced. I got family and friends of mine that have been sentenced, not going to get out until their 70s. Amen, right? And then I watched those babies grow up and I said, "Man, I have got to figure something else out." Amen, right? Something. So whether I'm cool anymore, whether I'm tough anymore, whether I've been anymore, I'm going to tell you what I am. I'm there for my kids.
That's right?
Amen. Right? I found something. I found something strong enough to stop me from heading back down that way. Amen? And I think that even though the times, and we were talking about Paul, I went way off track. He's grounded in faith. But he's suffering and he implores God. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. When I think about that, it humbles us to understand that we need God in our lives. Amen. Because if I was as strong as I ever was right now, what's he say? It keeps me from exalting myself. Well, the thing is like that prayer where he says, God, you know, don't give me too little that I got to go steal, but don't give me too much that I forget you. Right, amen? Because being in that roadway with God is the best part of my life. Amen, right? Being involved in this group is the best part of my life. Amen, right? But the storms come. It's hard. In the midst of the storm, you think about it. Matthew 8:23, it says, great storm arose. The disciples are in the boat. And Jesus wakes up and they're screaming, save us, save us. And he says, why are you afraid, ye of little faith? And rebukes the waves and the wind. And they were stopped and were amazed and said, who is this guy that controls the wind and the waves? Amen, right? Right? But they've visibly seen it. And I can tell you right now that you've visibly seen it, because there's points and times in your life when you prayed and God made change. Amen, right? He rebuked that change. Amen. But see, enough time goes by and the wind picks up again. We're kind of people. We're all just people. We're weak. The reality is we're weak. And sometimes we're going to get fooled. Sometimes the wind picks up again. And he just was talking to them in Matthew 7:27 about foundations. And he's talking about a man that built his house on the rock and a man that built his house on the sand. So he said, the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew, it crashed against the house. So when you think about this from a spiritual perspective, even being grounded in your faith, even as Paul was concerned, right? Winds came, rains fell, amen? Walls crashed. Does that sound peaceful and easy to you? Right? But I can't have a mindset that life's going to be easy now that I have faith. I have to understand that through that faith, no matter how much rain falls, no matter how much wind blows, that I'm going to stand. Amen? Because that's what he says. The wind blew, the floods came, they crashed against the house, the rock, what did it do? It stood. But the one on the sand, it fell. And what did he say? Great was its fall. Why? Because his institution was not founded on Christ. Amen? Right? And that's the key. That's the concept. It's really perspective. It's really just perspective. When we start to put our concept of faith on Christ and not ourselves, we become stronger than we've ever been. And no matter what comes in our life, no matter what storms brewing today, and I promise whatever struggles around that next corner, if we're grounded on the rock of Christ, then no matter what happens, we will remain consistent. Amen? So when you think about this, and you think about in my life right now, there's still not a solution to this crisis that's occurred. But I wanted to share it right now in the midst of seeing the numbers come down every single month going backwards, and show you that even having a history of every drug or whatever you want to call it, or everything that I've been through, that I'm right here in God. Amen? Amen. Right? Amen. Right? Because what would it look like if the guy that's been a chaplain for 5 years now gives up? Right? Right? So guess what? It don't work out. Things backfire. It crashes and it doesn't work out. I'm going to be right here. Amen? Proverbs 24 says, for a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in the time of calamity. And the way I like to say it is 7 times he falls down, 7 times he gets up. The righteous man falls down 7 times, 7 times he gets up. No matter how many times we get knocked down, never, ever give up. Amen? No matter what happened yesterday, no matter what happened last week, no matter what we're facing 2 months from now, do not fall down. Amen? And if you get knocked down, what are you going to do? You're going to get up. The foundation. That's where we got to think about. And I'm about to close. But the foundation is what we're talking about. Where is our foundation today, and where should it be? Amen. When we're in the midst of all these storms and we're in this process of the part where it's the front of the storm, where we've been through it and things are finally starting to calm down, we don't know what's coming. I think that's about where I'm at right now, because I still see the storm. I still think it's coming, but I'm in the right in the middle of it. And in Romans 8, 5 and then 26 says, "For those according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And this is the perspective that I want to really, really, really share with you. Because no matter what you're going through or where you've been or what you got right now, every single one of us can stop and think of something that we're thankful for. Amen, amen, right? We know it. We know it. But tomorrow you wake up and the alarm clock goes off and the car don't start and everybody's making noise. Damn cat, you know, you crapped on my carpet. You know, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. It's all these tiny things. Lady driving 39 miles an hour. I'm late for work. You know, you get in that world and that world sits there and stares at you and you focus your mindset on that world. So it says the mindset of the flesh is rewarded by the flesh. He said that through a man's lips, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied by the production of his lips. Some of us are speaking this negativity into our lives. I hate this alarm clock. I hate this job. I hate this. No, I hate this. And we're letting this negativity seeds just right? And then our adversary is just out there watering it all day long. I can't wait for him to get this back. Right? But it's like, well, I'm surprised that things aren't working out for me. I've been Yosemite Sam for 3 months. You know how many seeds I probably planted? I'm going to have to bring the hook with me for about the next 6 months. But, you know, if we set our mind on that flesh, then we reap that flesh. But if I can just hold on to my faith right now and set my mind on the Spirit, I'm going to reap the things of the Spirit. Amen, right? Amen. Things of hope and peace to make you prosper and make you grow. Amen, right? That's where we want to be. So who cares if the car don't start and my boss is a jerk and all these things aren't working? I got 3 hours in my car every day working and still backwards every month. Right? I can explain it. It sounds terrible. It sucks, to be blatantly honest with you. But the reality of it is, all that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. There's another message that I love to share called the epitaph. Does anybody know what an epitaph is? No mentors. What's an epitaph? It's the dash, man. It's the dash. That little tiny dash. Ben, 1976, leaving home tonight, 2019. What happened in that little dash? Amen. Do you think paying the bills mattered? It did long term if everybody knew I wasn't paying them. But I'm just saying. I'm just the reality of that is that dash. Nobody's going to remember that it was an unsuccessful business. Nobody's going to remember that. But you know what you did? The wise win souls. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you affected people in your life and changed their life for the better, that's what that dash stands for. And that's what our purpose is. And nothing else matters. No matter if I got the brand new car and all these things, it only matters who I am, what I'm here to do. And what I'm here to do is tell you that the Word of God came into my life and fixed me somewhat. And it's continuing to grow me. Amen, right? Amen. And that's what it's there for you. He said his hand's not so short that he can't reach. He's reaching. Yes. Amen. We got to stop smacking that hand. All right. So in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen? So no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you got, God can turn that around right now for the good. Amen? Right? All of the past, so you know what? I wake up today, I don't feel bad about yesterday. I don't feel bad about 20 years ago. I'm not waking up worried about decisions that I made 15 right. years ago.
That's right.
I've got a lot going on today, right? I mean, that keeps me pretty stressed out, but none of those things can chase us. None of those things can follow us anymore. He said, all things work together for the good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So if I've given myself to his purpose, amen, that means every single thing up until this point is going to be used for good. And I don't have to worry about that. Amen? But even more importantly, He is not unaware of where we're at, because His Spirit says, and I love the way He words this, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints. It's God that sends the Spirit to us to pray to God for things that we don't know how to pray for, that sits there and works for us as an intercessor. What is that? To bridge the gap between us and Him. Being patient, wishing none of us to perish, for all to come to repentance, because He loves us. Amen? Right? So no matter where we are in this storm today, or if we got a loved one right now that's going through it, amen, right? We can share to them, never, ever give up. Amen, right? Because the storm's going to pass, regardless of where you are. And the end day's going to come, and we're going to answer for that. When the flesh returns to the dust and the Spirit of God returns to those who gave it. Amen, right? And we don't know if that's 3 hours from now or 3 weeks from now. But the reality is, if we're alive, we have an opportunity to make a change. Amen? Let's pray.